In the hills of Kyrgyzstan, there's a cemetery. And in the center of that cemetery is a set of monuments to the losses and the sufferings of the Kyrgyz people. One monument pictures 1916, when under Tsar Nicholas II of Russia, 100,000 Kyrgyz men died on that hilltop. A second monument commemorates 1938, when 137 men, leading citizens of Kyrgyzstan, were rounded up under Joseph Stalin from Russia, marched up that hillside, and murdered on the top of that hill. The third monument comes from 2010, when 37 young people died protesting a brutal regime on the top of that hillside. Yet the Kyrgyz people celebrate life on the Hill of Tears every year. They know that sometimes there are deaths so magnificent that they must be remembered regularly. And we as Christians know that there is a death so significant we must never, ever, ever forget to remember that death. And we do that every Easter. The Kyrgyz people have a hill called Atabeyet. We Christians have a hill called Golgotha. And on that hill, our Savior died. And on that cross, He died that we might live. He was the Lamb of God sacrificed for your sins, for my sins. And we live because He died. The Lamb died to give us life. John saw in a vision in Revelation chapter 5. He saw the throne of God. And on that throne of God, God reigned. And in the hand, the right hand, was a book that nobody could open. And yet, a lamb, standing as if it had been executed, stepped up and took the book from the right hand of God Almighty and opened it. And all of heaven erupted in praise, singing, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who purchased with his blood a people from every tribe, every nation, every ethnic group, every language, to make a kingdom of priests. Spiritually dead, we are made alive in Jesus Christ through the blood of the Lamb. And all over this globe today, all over this globe, there are people, and they are gathering to celebrate just as we celebrate today. They are gathering to celebrate the life we have in Jesus Christ. People of every tribe, every nation, every color of skin, every language. And we are one in our celebration of Jesus Christ. We celebrate the life that we have in Him. Because Jesus has created in us, all over this globe, new hearts, new life, new hope for life forever. Because of what He has done. In the original fairy tale version of The Wizard of Oz, the Tin Woodman had been a real man, and he had loved a beautiful woman. And the Wicked Witch decided that she hated this love, And so she put a curse on the Tin Woodsman, and she turned his limbs into tin. And he was working, and then she also caused an accident to happen, and he split himself in two. He was put back together with tin, but there was one ingredient missing. He had no heart. And you know the story of the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy, on her way from Kansas to Oz, finds the Tin Woodsman. He's stuck in a rainstorm, and his joints have all rusted shut, and he can't move. And she frees him up, and they begin to head toward Oz together. And the Tin Woodsman tells Dorothy, "No one can love who has not a heart. And so I am resolved to ask Oz to give me a new heart." Has life killed your heart? Maybe the arguments, maybe rejections, hurts, the fears of life has stolen your love away, and inside you are feeling dead because of the blows of this life. Jesus came to heal broken hearts. Not just heal, he came to give people new hearts, new lives, new hope. And that's what we celebrate today at Easter. He came to give you new life. He came to give you hope. Jesus is the Lamb who is our shepherd. And that Lamb died to give us life. But the shepherd lives to guide our lives. John, in another vision, this time in Revelation chapter 7, he saw a multitude of people, and they had gathered before the throne of God to worship and celebrate his grace and his love. And they were singing his praises because they had suffered much in this life. They were the martyrs. They had died because of Jesus Christ. And they sang a song to him. And John writes these words, "The Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." The Lamb who is the shepherd will guide us into new life, eternal life. This life can be tough. Sitting in this room, you have all experienced hurts. You have all experienced the struggles of this life. But I want to tell you that our shepherd leads us through this life into a new life that never ends. He leads us into a life with no tears, none wiped away. He leads us into a life with no pain, no struggle. He leads us into a life with no cancer. He leads us into a life with no heartache. He leads us into a life with no suffering. He leads us into a life with no loss of someone we've loved. He leads us into a life of perfection. And all over this globe today, Egypt being one, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering martyrdom, are suffering loss in ways we can only begin to imagine. But they know something. And what do they know? They know there's eternal life. They know there's more because he died and rose again from the dead. He is the shepherd who guides us into new life. And we are motivated by hope. Knowing our future in Jesus Christ changes how we deal with the stuff of today. We don't face things like the Coptics the Coptic Christians face in Egypt, but we all face hurts. We all face betrayals. We all face suffering and struggle. But we can deal with that because He lives. And Resurrection Day in the past gives us Resurrection Day in the future. And you'll be there, and I'll be there because of Jesus Christ. We have hope in Him. And all of the struggles of this life are wiped away. I'm going to tell you, last year's a tough year for us with the loss of Janie's mom, my dad. You've experienced losses too. No more loss! Ever! Forever. Amen?
Amen.
The shepherd guides his sheep into a life that never ends. And that's what we celebrate today. Pastor Lee Eklof used to stop at a gas station near his home on his way into the church office for a cup of coffee each day. And he got to know some of the people in that little coffee shop there. And that's where he met Stu. Stu's a guy who always seems to be down on his luck. Nothing much ever works out well for Stu. He's just one of these guys that has a tough time. And they struck up a conversation, began to talk. And this carried on for some time. One day, Stu said to him, he knew he was a pastor, he said, "Pastor, I need your help with something. There's a bunch of people at work. They call themselves born-again Christians. And they're always bugging me about becoming a Christian. What do I say to these people to get them to shut up?" So Pastor Lee said, "Well, how about if you try this? Why don't you tell them that you're not ready to talk right now, but they can pray for you. Just invite them to pray for you." So he did. He went back to work the next day, and he said, "I'm not ready to talk, but would you pray for me?" And they shut up, because you know what they were doing. They were praying for him. And as time went on, one Sunday morning, Pastor Lee stopped in on his way to church that morning to get a cup of coffee, and Stu was there. And Stu said to him, "Hey, Pastor, what are you going to talk about today?" Now, he never asked those kinds of questions. But, "Hey, Pastor, what are you going to talk about today?" And Pastor Lee said, "Well, I'm going to talk about the good shepherd who searched for his lost sheep." And Stu got real serious. And he looked at Pastor Lee and he said, "I'm a lost sheep. I'm a lost sheep. Just like that. I'm a lost sheep." And so, of course, Pastor Lee invited him to come to church. He didn't come, but he did come later, and he has been coming. And Pastor Lee is continuing to talk and pray for this lost sheep. Are you a lost sheep? Maybe somebody invited you to church today. And you've lost your way. You don't know how to work things out. Are you a lost sheep today? The shepherd invites you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. There's no better time than right now to come to Jesus, right where you're sitting. Because the shepherd is waiting for you, and he loves you with an infinite love. And he will welcome you, and he will give you hope, and he will give you a new heart, he will give you new life. And you will live forever with him. Come to him today. I suspect most of us here in this room are sheep that Jesus has already found. Some of us he had to search pretty hard. Some of us ran away a few times, but he brought us back because he loves us. Jesus has found us, and we live forever with him. It doesn't mean we don't get hurt, does it? We get hurt. We struggle. Things don't go right. We know the sting of death. We know the weakness of sickness. We know the discouragement of loneliness. Yes, we know the fear of loss. But we can face the future because we have a shepherd who guides us through life all the way to the end. So let's worship the Lamb who is our shepherd. Margaret Sangster Phippen wrote that in the mid-50s, her father, W.E. Sangster, started developing a weakness in his body, started struggling to breathe, his legs started dragging, had difficulty. Now, W.E. Sangster was a Methodist preacher in England who was very famous. He's written a lot of books, including a lot of books on preaching, which I still read today. And he used to preach to thousands in his church, 3,000 on average every Sunday. But he went to the doctor, and he found out that he had an incurable disease where the muscles atrophy slowly. And the doctor told him that in time, he would lose his ability to swallow, he would lose his voice, and he would eventually lose his ability to breathe. And there's nothing anybody could do. So W.C. Sangster determined to live his life for the Lord to the very best that he could. And he threw himself into ministry, figuring, okay, he may not be able to preach anymore, but he could still write. And he wrote many books. And he could devote himself to prayer. And he spent much time in prayer. And he said this, "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord." Isn't that interesting prayer? "Let me stay in the struggle, Lord," he pleaded. "I don't mind if I can no longer be a general, but give me just a regiment to lead. Just a regiment. Just a little ministry." And God did. He wrote articles. He wrote books. He helped organize prayer cells all over England. He said, "I'm only in the kindergarten of suffering," whenever anybody asked him about his struggles. He told people, "God is good." Gradually, Sangster lost the use of his legs. His voice went completely, and this man who preached to thousands couldn't even talk anymore. But he could still hold a pen, and he could still write, shakily at times, but he could write. And on Easter Sunday morning, just a few weeks before he died and went to heaven, he wrote a letter to his daughter, Margaret Sangster Phippen. And he wrote these words in it: "It is terrible to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice to shout, 'He is risen!' No voice to shout, 'He is risen.' That's terrible. But it would be still more terrible to have a voice and not want to shout at all. It's terrible to have no voice to shout, 'He is risen.' But oh, it's far, far worse to have the voice and not want to shout that He's alive." So we have gathered, and in a few moments, we will continue to shout about our risen Savior, for He is the Lamb who is our shepherd and guides us into life forevermore.